And welcome to another Trev and Ben podcast. Hello, Ben.
Hello.
Now, we thought we were sort of getting back to normal, but yeah. I'm preparing for another lockdown now.
Are you?
Yeah. I'm sure it's coming. So I'm stocking up on toilet roll, rice, pasta. Yeah, I'm getting it all in just in case.
Good plan.
It's one step forward, two steps back.
Yes, and as of today, as we're recording, it is Monday, and this is the day when the new rule has been introduced.
I know, and this is the rule of six.
That's
if anyone isn't aware of the new rule, then I hope you're not breaking it, because it's a big old fine if you break it.
Yeah, there is.
Is it 10 grand?
Is it as much as that?
I think it's 10 grand if you break it.
Bloody hell.
Yeah, so
that's a bit steep.
Well, it's a serious business. Ben.
So, as far as I'm aware, you are allowed to go to work. They want you to do that.
Yeah.
So go to your office, which could have, I don't know, 50 people in it.
Yeah, you can go to schools, which have up to, you know, 300 plus people in.
Yeah, you can commute to work on the tube system and the buses with unlimited people.
Yeah.
You can go for a pint after work with a pub full of people and five of your mates. Then you can go to a different pub after that with more mates. And then you can go home and not have a dinner with your family of seven.
That's right. Yeah, not allowed. 10 grand. And you see that one of the ministers this morning is urging neighbours to grass other people up.
Really?
He was asked on the radio this morning, should you be suspicious of your neighbours breaking the rule, should you report them? And he sort of said, you should.
Wow.
Phone the non-emergency number, obviously. That's not a 999 issue yet. I mean, ultimately it will be.
Well, the good news is I have been using this week because, thankfully, the government have been very kind. They've given us some time to prepare for the rule of six. Mm. Apparently, it was crucial that today is no more than six people, but last week in the build-up, it was fine, it was perfect.
Yeah. Didn't need to worry. Was all right.
Yep. But I have got the solution for you.
Oh, you've got a solution?
Yes.
Okay.
I can boost your numbers for you.
Well, I don't think you can.
What?
Well, let's see what you've got to say about it, but I've already got my phone ready to report you.
Well, what do you think
have
of this idea?
Have you got a spare 10 grand?
Listen, your 10 grand is safe. This is a completely bulletproof idea, this.
Okay, go on, yeah.
Are you aware of some of the exemptions to the rule of six?
No, I've not really looked into it that much.
Okay, well, let me tell you this. I can times the number of people you can see by five.
So you're telling me I can have 30 people around my house?
Exactly.
Go on,
with
then.
No fine, no danger.
All right, who's exempt?
Your money is safe.
Yeah.
Are you aware that weddings can have 30 people?
Okay, so... So what, I just have a wedding in my house?
And are you also aware that you can become ordained online as a minister with the powers of wedding people?
I knew that. I knew you could get ordained, yeah.
So all you've got to do is become an ordained minister online.
Yeah.
Organise a big piss-up with all your friends with the, I don't know, with the wedding ceremony to take place in your garden at midnight. The wedding officially starts at, say, midday.
Yeah.
30 people, well, 29 people, including yourself, that's 30. They all turn up, have a great piss up, and tragic, at the last minute, the wedding is called off.
I don't see this working.
Wait, why?
Surely there's just like a caveat within the wedding rule that it's got to be in a place of worship or something, you know, a large building, not just your house.
No, I didn't see that in the small print, did you?
Well, I haven't read it.
And it's not like they can fine you if you're jilted at the altar. They're not going to come after some heartbroken soul who's had a 30 people party, are they?
Well, they might do. If your neighbour's on the phone to them reporting you, they got, you know, he's got 30 people round, please come and knock on the door. Excuse me, sir, what is going on here? He said, well, I'm conducting a wedding.
And you showed them your online licence.
Oh, really, sir? Yeah, I believe you. I don't see us getting away with this.
Well, you have it as a party, and you tell people it's a fancy dress theme,
right.
And the theme is weddings.
It's weddings.
Yeah.
But then you've got possibly 20 brides and 20 grooms. Oh, no, that's 40 people, so that'll really be breaking it. But, you know, you can't just say the theme's wedding, because only one person can be dressed as a bride and one as the groom.
Okay, you tell...
Because otherwise you're fucked.
You tell 28 people to come as... the theme is wedding guest. That's the theme.
Yeah, okay.
To my fancy dress party.
Right.
You dress up as the vicar.
Yeah.
And then you just need to tell one woman to come as a bride. And then basically, if you dress as a fancy wedding guest, you can palm any old man off as the bride. The groom, sorry.
I'm not palming any man off.
I think it's brilliant.
Well, okay. Well, I want to read the small print. Are there any other exemptions or is it just weddings? Can I? What about...
Well, funerals as well.
Or christening.
I don't know about bar mitzvahs and christenings, actually. I do know funerals are, but that's going to be a lot trickier.
Yes. Yeah, okay. All right, well, I'd be more comfortable with a sort of christening or something like that. But I'm still not sure. I'd need to look into whether you can have 30 people in your house if you're having a wedding. Because I've got a feeling that's not going to happen, you know. I mean, I admire your thinking. I admire your balls to try and get around the rules.
Well, and again, me being a pedant, I'm just thinking about it now. I would be quite comfortable in betting my life that the government haven't specified human funerals.
Oh.
So, I'm aware that you could have a belated celebration of the life of Mr. Tortoise.
Okay, and have 30 people round.
Exactly.
And
I bet you the government haven't thought to put human funerals.
Well, yeah. Well, the thing is, I don't know 30 people, so it doesn't matter. But the other thing is, with this rule of six thing, are we supposed to... Because from what you're saying, so I've not really followed this. I'm so bored of the whole fucking thing. But does it mean that are you supposed to have bubbles again? Are we supposed to have bubbles of people? Because if you're saying 30 people can come around my house, presumably it doesn't matter whether I'm in a bubble with anyone or not.
No, in fact, the bubble thing seems to have gone well and truly out the window. As far as I'm concerned, and as I understand now, if you are a family of six people, mum, dad and four kids, granny can't come round. It's right. That strict.
What if you're a family of seven?
Then I guess one of you's on the lawn. Trev, I've got a really strange conundrum.
Okay.
I have had outside my house
30 all the way people. Across...
No, I've got these weird orange pillars that have appeared in the road. There's been some roadworks going on. I don't know why, but they always seem to choose the entrance to my street as the place to do the roadwork. So I'm always getting temporary traffic lights outside the house. And there have been these orange cones that have been in the road, but they're not like traffic cones that you can move. I noticed the other day they seem to be actually bolted into the road.
Okay.
So they're
I know what these are.
Well, I wish you could explain it to me because they are bolted into the road. They are hideous. They're an absolute eyesore. And I don't know why they've appeared. Until last night, I was driving along the road and I saw a sign. And the sign read, pop-up COVID-19 cycle lane.
Cycle lanes. Yeah, yeah, yeah. We've got them around here. Around my way, they've put them up.
Okay.
And, they've been there for quite a while now. But the idea was they went up first of all around here at the end of the sort of main lockdown, or even sort of during it when some people were still having to go to work and they were encouraging people to cycle to work. So they created these cycle lanes and they've just stayed as far as I can tell.
Right. Why does a pandemic need a cycle lane?
Well, because the idea was to, you know, not get people on buses and that sort of thing. So from where I am, if you're having to go into central Croydon, rather than get a bus, you're encouraged to cycle so that you're not on a bus. And also, the buses are still only taking limited numbers, so you might end up waiting an age for a bus when you could cycle to your office and be there quite quickly.
Am I allowed to assume that the word pop-up means hopefully at some point in the future they might pop the fuck back down again?
Well, I think it depends on the success of them, isn't it? I mean, if you are a cyclist, at least you've got some barrier between you and dickheads in cars who want to run you over.
Do you really think a speeding lorry is going to be bothered at all by these pathetic orange eyesores?
Yeah, I think. Yeah, why not?
I'm honestly worried that I might write to the council about it because I'm worried that they're so ugly it's going to devalue my house.
The only main opposition I've seen so far was actually, it was a very practical and valid reason, I think, to be against them because they've popped up all over the place. And When I first saw this on the news and it was a taxi driver complaining about it, I thought, oh, fuck off. I'm not that bothered about taxi drivers, greedy bastards.
What do you mean?
Well, the black taxi driver, fuck me, the amount they charge, greedy. Right? Not a fan. So, we do the knowledge. Yeah, fuck off. An Uber.
But I didn't think taxi drivers actually set their rates. They just have that clock thing that does it automatically.
Yeah, but I mean, whatever that rate is extortionate, isn't it? If you get in a black cab, it's a fucking con.
It is a bit steep.
Whereas, you know, and they get the piss about the Uber drivers, and they go, we've done the knowledge. You know, yeah, but you don't need it now, mate. Get a sat nav.
Exactly. I'm inclined to agree with you on that.
I'm not going to pay you five times more just because you've done some fucking course. So,
but they can go in bus lanes.
Well, that's true, but yeah, does it really make any odds? You know, I've been stuck in a black cab in central London, not being able to go anywhere. It makes no odds. So, so anyway, I saw this taxi driver moaning. I was just, oh God! But then they made the very good point that for people who have disabilities and maybe in wheelchairs who need the taxi to go right up to the curbside, these are not allowing that to happen. So it's quite dangerous for perhaps someone with a sight problem to have to walk out into that little cycle lane now because a taxi can't get into it because they've got the barriers there.
It seems dangerous in my road as well because my road wasn't built or designed to allow a cycle lane. So by forcing one on us, now what you've done is you're causing traffic in the opposite direction to have to use a bit of the opposite lane. So it's dangerous.
Well, I mean, it's amazing to think that an initiative set up by this government hasn't been thought through. It's amazing, isn't it, that, you know, a government who has frankly proven themselves to be useless at every turn hasn't thought something through.
Do you think if I wrote to my MP, anything would get done? The last time I wrote to the council to try and get something fixed, they threatened to take away my garden. So yeah. I'm a bit reluctant.
Well, I wouldn't. I mean, who is your MP? It used to be Nicholas Soames, didn't it?
Yeah, but didn't he get defrocked by Boris Johnson?
Well, he still be your... Or has he stepped down? No, I'm sure he might have stepped down at the last election, actually, Nicholas Soames. So you've probably got a new MP now. But I'm assuming you live in some Tory area. And, but write to him. I'd be interested to find out whether you would hear anything back.
Okay, I'll tell you what. I'll make that my homework for this week. I've got a week off work, so I'll be writing to whoever is the MP for Mid Sussex.
Find out who your MP is and then write them a little letter. Because last time I wrote to my MP, I did get a response, albeit a very basic one. But it doesn't mean you're... Like, MPs won't... They don't change anything if you write to your MP, but it's quite nice to write to them, get it off your chest.
Do you think it would add any weight if I said, you know, use my fame a little bit and say, well, I'll have you know, I am Ben of the Trev and Ben podcast. Do you think that would have any weight?
I wouldn't have thought so.
No,
he's probably never heard of us, and even if he has, he wouldn't give a shit, would he?
I was hoping that would get the orange cone machine dispatching team sent straight round, but obviously not.
Well, no, I think if you were to just use that, he'd go, "Who are you anyway?" And then he might listen to this podcast and hear that we are slagging off his Tory government. And then he probably will get you arrested. He'll find some jumped up charge. Come on, probably get you on some terror related charge.
Yeah, but it would be another listener, wouldn't it?
Now, I love a good TV detective show. Are you a fan?
Oh, I know you do. I'll watch them if they're on, but I wouldn't really seek it out. I wouldn't sit down and think, oh, I'd love a good detective show.
Is there not one that you think, oh, that's my TV detective?
Can I cite Jonathan Creek as a TV detective? Does that count?
Sort of. Yeah, I reckon he could. Yeah.
I would say Jonathan Creek.
Okay. Cracker.
Oh, yes. That is amazing.
Now, see, now I've got you interested, haven't I?
Bit of Robbie Coltrane.
Coltrane. Cracker's fantastic. And I, as you know, I do love a good TV detective. I think Columbo's one of my favourites. Love a bit of Columbo.
You know what I'm going to say now, don't you?
What?
I've never seen a single episode of Columbo.
You've never seen a single episode of Columbo.
No.
I mean, that's just an awful state of affairs.
He's the guy who says just one more thing, isn't he?
Just one more thing. Yeah. And the Peter Falk, who played him for about, I don't know, 35, 40 years or something.
Christ.
And but the great thing about Columbo is you know who's done it from the very start. And it's just the story is how he works it out.
Oh, okay. I thought you were going to say it's one of those things where they get a sort of celebrity cameo guest in for an episode and they're always the murderer.
Oh, yeah. There's always... Like, William Shatner's been in it. There's always a big celebrity name and they're often the murderer.
Of course.
I just love Columbo. Because you know who's done it, there's no... Like, the pressure's off. I can sit back and enjoy this. I can watch. I'm not having to work this out myself.
No, but surely that's half the intrigue of these sort of shows.
Well, that's the beauty of Columbo. It doesn't need it because the character is so good. The character is so strong. I think if the character isn't quite so strong, then yeah, you need that. And obviously, most of them are like that. They're whodunits. You have to try and guess who's done it.
But not Columbo.
Not Columbo. You know
you
who's
see,
done it.
Mrs. Ben was recently watching a show she found, which was called... And I shit you not, this is the title of the show, When Missing Turns to Murdered.
Ooh, right.
And okay. I thought, well, that's a bit of a spoiler alert for every single story, isn't it?
Yeah.
Mm.
Was that a drama?
No, sadly not. That was real life cases. It was a bit dreary.
Yeah, well, I'm talking about dramas, really.
Fair enough.
Rather than working it out. Now, the sort of list of some of the best TV detectives came out this week.
Oh.
And Cracker's on it. Is there? They're in no particular order, these, by the way. They just seem to have listed the sort of top ones.
As much as I like Jonathan Creek, I think I had completely forgotten about Cracker. Yeah. And I'm going to have to say Robbie Coltrane's character in that is my all-time favourite detective.
Touch of Frost is good. David Jason, you ever seen him in those?
No.
I mean, he's a stereotypical, very grumpy detective. But he's
Has he sport a white tash in it?
Well, he's got a tash. It might have got white the older he got. I think when he started, it wasn't. And, he's a miserable sod, but he's always right. I mean, that's the beauty of Frost. Always right. Prime Suspect. Ever watched Prime Suspect?
I think my mum was a huge fan of that, but yeah. I don't think I've ever seen it.
I've only watched them recently, and they are superb, so I recommend those.
Is that with a female lead?
Yeah, Helen Mirren.
Helen Mirren, yes.
Jane Tennyson. Yeah. Morse. Now, Morse, right, I can't get on with Morse. I like Endeavour, which is the more recent one about the young Morse.
Damn, I was just about to break out my bit of trivia about Morse, which is that no one knows his first name is Endeavour, but then they made that series called Endeavour and
Endeavour, yeah.
Ruined my bit of trivia.
Did you know that the theme tune to Morse spells the name Endeavour?
What?
It's got Morse code in the theme tune, and it spells Endeavour, I think.
Does it really?
Yeah, yeah. And
well, that is an even better bit of trivia.
Here you go. And here's another little fact for you, that Colin Dexter, who wrote a lot of those stories, I think all the Morse stories, appears in a lot of the episodes, plays a little cameo in many, many episodes.
Oh.
And, of course, then there's Lewis, which was the spin-off.
Wasn't Lewis sort of his...
He was his sidekick.
Yeah.
But then after
Morse... Was he hard done by, would you call him, Lewis?
Didn't
Morse treat him like shit?
But again, because Morse, he was like your Frost. This is the thing, right? TV detectives, they fall into categories. You have the miserable older cop. So Frost is one and Morse is one, right? They can't hold down a relationship. They're single. The police is their life. They're married to the police.
Right.
And they're bitter. They're slightly twisted. And they treat their underlings with very little respect.
Was the show about the spin-off character Lewis, was that any good?
I've watched all of them and I really enjoyed them.
Because I would have thought it was off to a lose from the beginning, because who cares about the sort of often put down, not quite as competent Lewis? We all want Morse.
Well, Morse is dead.
Oh, spoiler alert, I've not seen it!
So then it's about Lewis becoming the chief detective. He's like the top man. And he's got an underling who is played by Lawrence Fox.
Did Lewis treat him like shit? Or like, it's my time to be the boss now and I'm going to treat you like I was treated?
He's very supportive of him, but sometimes he can be a bit grumpy with him. But you see, the Lawrence Fox character, he falls into another category when it comes to the TV detective.
Oh, yeah?
The man in, or woman in personal turmoil. Because that's a big thing, isn't it? When you get your TV detective, are they a fruitcake as well as a top detective, or are they the grumpy sod? He's got many things going on in his life as the sidekick, which is causing him great distress. Therefore, he comes across as slightly cold. He's a very cold character.
Right.
But still a very good detective.
Okay.
And you see, that's the thing, right? Because I watch a lot of these, and I've recently watched another one called Marcella. Ever heard of this one?
Never heard of that.
Now, she is, I think she would take the prize for most fucked up TV detective I've ever seen.
Okay.
And I've seen a lot of these where, as I say, the lead detective has got a messed up personal life. I get a little bit tired, if I'm honest, of that being a thing. Like with Columbo, I mean, you hear about Mrs. Columbo, you never see her. She's one of those characters, she gets a mention every episode. She'll always say something about, you know, my wife. I don't know, he's not Northern, but, you know, he's, my wife. So he'd always say it, but you never meet her. But you don't know much about his personal life, Columbo. He's just constantly working on the crime.
Right. He sounds like he's a bit one-dimensional, Poirot.
No, he's fucking amazing, Columbo. I won't have a word to
him. Oh, I call him Poirot. Whoops.
You did call him Poirot.
Is Poirot on the list?
Poirot is on the list. Again,
another fun fact.
A very miserable, grumpy detective.
And a fun fact, is it David Suchet who plays Poirot?
Yeah.
A fun fact, you almost killed him.
I did, well, yes, I did almost kill him. I was.
You told him to ignore a fire alarm, well, didn't you, when the building was on fire?
Well, I was a recording engineer at the time, and he was in doing a two-day recording session. And I think it was on the second day, or maybe the first day, I can't remember. In the morning, the fire alarm had gone off, and as I went to evacuate, somebody said, oh, it's a false alarm, don't worry, it's fine, false alarm, right? So that's fine, we went back in, we were recording. In the afternoon, the fire alarm went again, and I said to him, it's probably a false alarm. And it just kept going and going. Nobody came in. Well, this was the worrying thing. That
no, they were all fleeing the burning building. That's why.
Nobody came in to say, you'd better get out. Or nobody came in.
That's what the alarm's for.
Whether we were going to get out. So eventually I said, I'll just go and have a look. And I went out and the corridor was filled with smoke.
God.
And,
but is that moustache real or is it a stick-on moustache? Because you wouldn't want that getting singed, would you?
It was a stick-on. He didn't have a tash at the time. And I said to him, I think we better
run for our lives, yeah.
Right. And it turned out it wasn't anything serious. It was just on the floor below us, somebody had left something in a toaster and it had just filled the place with smoke. So I didn't nearly kill him, but it was a very, yeah, it was a touch and go fire emergency. That's
okay.
So anyway, but Poirot, yeah, another great TV detective, but falls into that grumpy mode. But going back to Marcella, right?
Yes.
So she is, I mean, she shouldn't be on the job. I've just watched the first two series of it, and I was getting annoyed. I was thinking, you should not be on the job. You are so fucked up. She's got this thing where she blacks out and becomes violent.
Oh.
Now, the first time that happened, surely somebody would go, I don't think, you know, as good a detective as you are, I don't think you should be on the job right now.
That's a fair comment.
And also, here's another category for the TV detective. The TV detective whose family are always too closely involved. And again, Marcella, in the first two seasons, all of her family seem to be way too close to the crimes that happen. It's just not realistic, is it?
No, I'll have to check that out. It sounds kind of, I mean, you're not keen on it by the sounds of things.
Well, no, I've enjoyed it. And the thing is, I will have to watch the next season that's coming out later this year. Because I'm into it now. But I was getting annoyed. I was thinking, you're too fucked up to be a policewoman.
So she has these sort of Jekyll and Hyde moments where she just randomly blacks out and goes mental.
Yes, and I mean, I don't want to give any spoilers if you're going to watch it, but I mean...
Well, you've already spoiled Morse.
Well, all right then, but I mean, there's one bit in one of the series of this where you even wonder whether she's killed one of the victims herself.
Bloody hell.
So, you know, I mean, she always seems to get the person in the end, but it worries me. And these TV detectives that have got too many mental or emotional issues going on, they worry me.
Is it one overarching storyline, or is it lots of different cases every episode?
It's one overarching thing per series.
Okay, so if it's one overarching story per series, and you've just told us she always gets her person in the end, then there's absolutely no fucking reason to watch that one, then, is there?
Well, no. Don't bother me. Here's another TV category for the detective.
Go on.
The non... how can I call it? The non-official busybody. Miss Marple, for example.
Right.
She's not a policewoman, is she?
No.
I don't even know who... I've never really watched much of Miss Marple, but she's on the list. She's up there as one of the favourites. Of course, been played by many actresses over the years.
Mm-hmm.
But ultimately, she's just an old woman poking her nose in.
No, I've never seen this one either, but it sounds to me very much like Murder, She Wrote.
Well, it's very much like that. I was going to say Murder, She Wrote is like that. This woman, I mean, she's too nosy for her own good, isn't she, Jessica Fletcher?
What is that her name? Is it, by the way, I was doing, I started doing this during the lockdown, Jay's virtual pub quiz every Thursday and Saturday nights. And she was in the picture round. It was Who Is This? And it bothered me for about 20 minutes. When the name Angela Lansbury came back to me, I almost ran victory laps around the lounge, how pleased I was to remember her name.
Yeah, well done. Did you get the
Thank
point
you.
For that?
I got the point for that. Angela Lansbury.
She's now well in her 90s, still acting.
In her 90s?
In her 90s now, yeah.
I think old DVD's still going as well.
DVD?
Dick Van Dyke.
Oh, Dick Van Dyke, yeah.
Yeah.
And he recently, well, no, I say recently, in the last few years, he's married someone far young. Like, he's about 90, 91, 92, isn't he? And he married someone, I think, in their 40s.
Good lad.
I know, yeah.
That's the way to do it.
He's not called Dick for nothing. So you get the busybodies, don't you? So you got Miss Marple, as you say, Jessica Fletcher, Father, and I love Father Brown. That's another one of my favourites. But he's a vicar poking his nose in. The policemen don't like him. But they have a begrudging respect for him because he always solves the crime for them because they're sort of all inept, the police officers in that. But thanks to Father Brown, they always find the culprit.
I'm not going to claim this is my observation because it isn't. I think it was something I heard David Mitchell say once. But one of the things I think he always found annoying, particularly with Morse, was that every week Lewis or somebody would throw in some doubt at him and his methods and his way of thinking. And he thought, you know, has my track record not proven to you by now not to question me?
Yeah, but I think that's the thing, right? So those older cops, like the Morse, the Frosts, those... Yeah, because Frost, his methods are always being questioned by his superior. Like,
right.
What's his name? Mullet. Chief Inspector Mullet, I think it is. He's always having a go at Frost, because Frost's old school. You know, Frost will go in all guns blazing. He doesn't mind if he pins someone to a wall and shouts to them, even punch him if necessary.
Hang on a minute. That would get your case thrown out.
Well, not in Frost, he gets the person in the end.
Yeah, but if you beat up the person you're interrogating, it'll get thrown out. Well, Morse sounds like a rogue. He's a rebel without a cause.
Well, Morse doesn't do that very often. Frost will. But Morse is just, he's more cerebral, you know?
There are too many of these shows. I can't even remember all the ones you've mentioned in this podcast. It sounds like the detective market is heavily oversaturated.
Well, there's loads of... Then the one last category I want to go to when it comes to the TV detective show...
Go on.
...is the place that's quite small where the number of murders must be so disproportionate in terms of the population of the area. So Midsummer Murders is the one, isn't
yes.
it?
Yes.
Every week, at least one person is murdered in Midsummer. It's a tiny little village.
Yeah, I mean, Jonathan Creek, I think, lived in a windmill. So there was people dying left, right and centre in that.
Yeah, and Father Brown's the same. It's a little village, but the murder rate is incredible.
You'd move, wouldn't you?
Yeah. The other weird thing, just to throw the final bit in, is again, you look at these things like Father Brown, and I don't know, I guess, whether Jonathan Creek, I've never really watched Jonathan Creek, so you'll tell me whether it's the same. But too many of the main characters, because Father Brown's got his little group who help him out, they often are the ones finding the bodies. And I think, how are you never a suspect? You know, Miss Marple, she's always there, isn't she? Why is she never a suspect? She might be a massive serial killer.
She might be. I never really understood, and I don't want this to go on too long, but the premise Murder, She Wrote, I never really understood what the title meant.
Well, she's an author.
Yeah.
So...
And?
Well, I don't know.
Did she write up the murders? Did she write books about the murders?
I think maybe that sometimes the murders are... Like, she will, as part of her working out who did it, she will draw from experience on what she's written. So she'll say, oh, in my book such and such, don't forget the character did A, B and C. So maybe in this case it's very similar. I think that's the premise.
So it's totally meaningless. So if it had been Lewis Hamilton starring in a new detective drama about a racing driver who solves murders on his off time, it would have been called Murder, He Drove.
Well, yeah, but only if he was drawing on the experience of driving.
But why is she correlating her works of fiction to completely unrelated murders?
Because she's a fucking genius, isn't she? She always gets them.
I always knew that title was bollocks, and it always confused the shit out of me.
Now, as well as TV detective shows on the telly, Ben, I'll tell you the other thing I love watching is a good game show.
Oh, me too.
The Chase is probably my favourite.
Yep.
Pointless comes a close second.
Yeah, I'm a bit over Pointless, to be honest.
Oh, yeah?
Little bit.
Oh, God, OK. What else? Countdown's still good, isn't it?
Well, I'm not very good at the numbers round, and Rachel Riley makes me feel very inferior, so I don't like Countdown very much.
OK, all right. Well, what other ones do you like? What's your favourites?
I always liked the Weakest Link. I thought was always quite a nice, fast-paced question. I like that. Weakest I don't like link. It when they draw it out too long.
No, okay, no. Like, what was that one? I think it started with £1 million drop and ended up like £1,000 drop because they obviously didn't get the sponsors or whatever.
Budget problems on that show, I think.
But I remember watching that once and I thought, fuck me, you could have this done in 20 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
They managed to make it last an hour.
Yeah.
So unnecessary. I mean, even The Chase, I watch on record, and I can watch an episode in about 25 minutes.
Absolutely, yeah. I don't know if this one counts as a quiz, but did you ever see the programme presented by Jasper Carrot called Golden Balls?
Oh, Golden Balls, yeah. That was a sort of strategy. There was a quiz element, wasn't there, to answer questions?
Good show, but my God, could it have been done in 10 minutes flat?
Yeah. Oh, a lot of padding.
Oh.
A lot of padding in that show. That was another hour, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Needn't have been an hour. I'll tell you the other one I like, Only Connect.
I'm not sure I've heard of that one.
It's a bit sort of... took me a while to get into that one because it's quite nerdy and geeky. And you kind of have to find connections between things. It's hosted by Victoria Coren Mitchell.
Oh, I like her. I think I have seen this, actually.
Yeah. But I've started to get better at that the more I've watched it, because I've sort of got the idea. But sometimes it's way beyond me. It's very intellectual.
So, married to David Mitchell.
That's right, yeah.
He's getting his second mention in this podcast.
Yeah. So anyway, I love a good quiz show. I was watching The Chase the other night, and I just wanted to share something with you that I heard on The Chase.
Are you angry?
It did piss me off a little bit. So this is Ravi. We're not going to hear any of his questions. This is just his little introduction bit. It annoyed me. He'd lost me as a supporter very early on.
So okay.
Let's have a listen to Ravi. Let's find out what Ravi does, shall we?
Next to face the chaser, it's Ravi. Welcome to the show, Ravi, from London. And you are a digital consultant. What do you consult digitally-wise?
I help businesses deliver products that people love.
So he helps people deliver products that people love.
That sounds harmless enough. He sounds quite proud of his job, and and he's giving people what they love.
But digitally, I don't really... Do you understand what it means?
Well, to be honest with you, the moment I heard the word consultant, alarm bells were going off in my head.
Yeah. Well, Bradley Walsh wanted to find out a little bit more about Ravi's work.
Like what?
Like the experiences of digital and physical called phygital.
Oh, fuck off. This is where I'm shouting it. Let's have a listen again.
Like what?
Like the experiences of digital and physical called phygital.
Phygital. Phygital.
What is he even talking about? For context, somebody I think was one of our bosses at the radio station, and that isn't going to narrow it down because we had so many, but somebody once told me a consultant is the sort of person who will steal your watch and then ask the time.
Well, let's find out what phygital really means, shall we?
What's phygital when it's at home? How does that manifest itself?
So think about Uber. You go on an app and you do some things.
Yes.
And then a cab appears.
Yes.
Physical, digital, phygital.
Fucking hell.
Jesus Christ.
I don't know if this is a word he's made up or whether this is something that exists, but this is something that should not exist, even if it does. I mean, who's come up with that? This is like your fucking, what was it the other week? Daily delivery, door-to-door
mail. Oh, my door-to-door mail, yes.
Some bullshit. And you can't see, but when he does it, he does a very David Brent interlocking his fingers.
Oh, yeah, the meshing of the fingers, yeah.
So he goes physical, digital, phygital.
Oh, I hate Ravi.
Yeah, I mean,
and obviously, you get the Uber app, and this podcast is not sponsored by Uber,
no.
Unless they want to, of course. You get the app, you get the cab, it all works, you pay them.
Yeah.
Why does that need a consultant?
Because they've not thought of phygital. Fuck me, that annoyed me. That really...
I'd like to slap the man who coined the term phygital.
You'll be pleased to know he didn't win the jackpot.
Good.
He went home empty-handed.
I bet he's the sort of prick to take the lower offer as well.
Well, I don't think he did, but he did get, I think he got through to the final. I'll give him some credit. But he was a lot of guessing. He was, the bloke was useless. So, anyway, I just need to get that out of the way. But it's been a big week for game shows in this country. A millionaire winner on Who Wants to Be a Millionaire, the first one in 14 years.
Yeah, I haven't seen it, but I heard it was quite amazing.
The bloke was incredible. I think he won it in record time, and he used only one lifeline, a 50-50 at about the 32,000 mark.
That sounds cavalier to me.
I mean, it was amazing. But he knew the answers.
That's disrespectful.
What do you mean it's disrespectful?
If you're getting to the million-pound question with two lifelines to spare, and you don't use them just to be on the safe side, then I can't relate to what kind of human being you must be.
He didn't need... He knew the answers. Even, I think it was the £500,000 question. Even before the answers come up, he was nodding. He was like, oh, yeah, OK, yeah, know that.
If the question... if the million-pound question was, Ben, what's your surname? And I had two lifelines left, I still use them just to be on the safe side.
Well, the million-pound question was something like, which pirate was killed in 1817 or whatever it was, or 1718, off the coast of Florida, or so it was some weird question like that.
Christ.
And the answers were sort of Caracal Jack, Blackbeard, and two others. And he went, yeah, because he was a teacher, this guy, he taught history and politics, and he went, oh, about 8 years ago I taught about piracy, and I can't tell you about the other three, but I can tell you that Blackbeard died in that year. So the answer's Blackbeard. Final answer. Thank you very much.
Oh, that's a stroke of luck.
I know. This, and when he won, he was a great bloke. His brother had already been on a £500,000. So, I mean, there's something in that family. There's some amazing intelligence in that family, right? But when he won, he went, not in an arrogant way. He wasn't arrogant at all. He just went, How easy was that? I mean, I was so lucky. They all fell my way. Or I didn't have any trivia questions, he called it, which basically meant he didn't have any shit about the X Factor or some bollocks like that. Who won Desperate Housewives, you know, all that kind of shit.
That's amazing. So imagine being a part of that. That's also annoying that not only is he brilliant, but he's also modest. That's really annoying.
I know. And he's resigned from his job as a teacher, but he hasn't left yet. This is how a nice guy he is and how responsibly he takes his job. Because he said, I wouldn't want to... it's only fair I see my last A-level class through their course.
I'd be out the door like a shot.
That's it. I'd couldn't give a shit what grade you get. I'm gone.
Good luck with your A-level bastards. I'm off.
So I thought we'd do, because this is a great excuse if we're talking about game shows, to go through some of the best, worst game show answers ever.
Oh, good.
So what I'm going to do is you'll hear the question, and I'm going to see whether you can give me a reasonable answer, and then we'll hear the answer that was given.
Okay.
We're going to start quite highbrow, okay? We're going to start with University Challenge.
Oh, God, I have a system for this.
Okay, what's your
always say Shakespeare, you'll be correct at least once an episode.
Okay, well, that might not help you here, but here's the question.
The nicknames Cheesemongers, Cherry Pickers, Bob's Own, the Emperor's Chambermaids, and the Immortals are or have been used for which groups of men?
Any idea?
Can I be a real pain in the arse and ask to hear the list again?
Okay, all right.
The nicknames Cheesemongers, Cherry Pickers, Bob's Own, the Emperor's Chambermaids, and the Immortals are or have been used for which groups of men?
Beef-eaters?
Beef-eaters. It's not the answer.
It's not a humiliating guess, though, is it?
No, it's not. And you're sort of on the right lines in many ways, because the answer is they're all nicknames for regiments of the British Army.
Okay.
Do you want to hear one of the answers given?
Yeah.
The nicknames Cheesemongers, Cherry Pickers, Bob's Own, the Emperor's Chambermaids, and the Immortals are or have been used for which groups of men?
You miss Bright. Homosexuals?
God, that's awful.
I mean, what's he thinking?
Oh, God, you idiot. Right. As if they'd broadcast that, even if it was the right answer, as if they'd even asked that question.
I know. God. I know. Right, let's do a bit of blockbusters, right? You know, blockbusters where you ask for a letter.
Yeah.
And the letter is what the answer has to begin with. Okay?
Yes.
All right, here's the question.
What P were called by William Pitt the Elder the lungs of London?
What P were called by William Pitt the lungs of London?
If you're a politician, you might suggest that the people are the lungs of London?
The people, it's a very good guess. The answer is parks, the parks of London. Let's have a listen to the answer given.
What P were called by William Pitt the Elder the lungs of London?
Prostitutes?
Well, I mean, if that's how your mind works.
I like him.
What I love is Bob Holness, because, you know, this is the Bob Holness era of Blockbuster. Right. His very English response. Just listen to the way he responds.
Prostitutes?
Good gracious me. Absolutely.
Oh, I like
incredible.
That.
Let's do a little bit of the weakest link, shall we? You ready?
Yeah.
Weakest link? Okay, here's the question.
The science of what is botany, the study?
Okay, in science of what is botany, the study?
That'll be plants.
It is plants. Let's see what the answer is.
And science of what is botany, the study?
Bottoms.
Sorry, did she say bottoms?
She said bottoms.
Bottoms. Okay,
like there's a science to that. I mean, there probably is an area of medicine that is very much for that area.
Yes. oh, God. I mean, as if it would be that simple as well. Right. That's like saying photosynthesis is about photos. It's so stupid.
Here's another one.
On a magnetic compass, which direction is directly opposite to east?
Okay.
Opposite to east?
Yeah.
West?
Fairly straightforward, isn't it?
On a magnetic compass, which direction is directly opposite to east?
North.
I mean, what sort of people are going on it?
Wow. You wonder how these kind of people filled in the application.
Here's another weakest link.
Which member of the royal family appeared on the 200th edition of A Question of Sport?
Any ideas?
I don't know. Member of the royal family, 200th. I don't know. Princess Anne?
It was Princess Anne.
Was it really?
That would be the right answer. Let's see what the contestant gave.
Which member of the royal family appeared on the 200th edition of A Question of Sport?
Ricky Tomlinson?
No, Princess Anne.
I mean, honestly.
Well, at least you can see where he's gone wrong there.
Okay, here's another one from The Chase.
Okay.
What name is used for medicine given to please rather than cure the patient?
Okay, what medicine's given to please rather than cure?
If it's medicine that's given to please rather than cure, then that would suggest it has no actual curing So that'll be a placebo.
A placebo would be the answer, wouldn't it? Let's see what the answer given.
What name is used for medicine given to please rather than cure the patient?
Marijuana.
Marijuana.
Now, I like his thinking.
Now, of course, the game show that I think is king for ridiculous answers is Family Fortunes.
Oh, yeah.
So I've got a few for you here. Let's do Family Fortunes. Here we go.
We asked 100 people to name a character from Alice in Wonderland.
A character from Alice in Wonderland. Just pick one.
The Mad Hatter.
The Mad Hatter. I would assume that would have been quite high up on the list. Yep. Here's the answer given.
We asked 100 people to name a character from Alice in Wonderland.
Alan.
The Tin Man.
The Tin Man.
I mean, it's not even in that story.
No, a lot of people do say that it's easy for you to answer these questions at home, but when you're in the studio with the pressure and the lights...
But that's
such a brain fart, isn't it, to say the Tin Man was in Alice in Wonderland.
Then the next bit is from the final of Family Fortunes, where you have to give quick answers, OK? And if you're second to go, if their answer's been given before, you have to come up with another answer.
Yes, okay. I remember, yes.
All right, let's just have a quick listen to this contestant.
Name a type of bean. Baked bean.
So baked bean's already been said. Name a type of bean.
Did he shout duck initially?
Name a type of bean. Baked bean.
I think he's just going, dup, like a Homer Simpson type. Dup.
Sounds like Count Arthur Strong, this guy.
So baked bean's gone. Pick another bean.
Pick another bean. Runner bean.
Runner bean, green bean, harrica bean. There's probably loads, isn't there?
Bellotti bean.
Yeah. Did you see what he said?
Go on.
Another answer. Lesbian!
Lesbian.
Lesbian?
I mean...
Is he thinking like lesbian?
Lesbian. And that's how it was put up on the thing.
Lesbian.
Yeah, he got no marks for that.
Good. Didn't deserve any.
Okay, here's another one.
We asked 100 people to name something your car can have two of.
Something your car can have two of.
Brakes.
Brakes.
Lights.
Lights.
Seats.
Yeah, let's see what an answer gives.
We asked 100 people to name something your car can have two of. Hola.
Wheels.
Wheels. I think that's a bike, isn't it?
Yeah, that'll be a bike.
Okay, here's another one.
We asked 100 people to name something that dogs do that you wish you could.
Something that dogs do that you wish you could do.
Now, I'm not proud of this, but I'm not saying I would, but the answer that immediately flashed through my
lick
brain was lick your bollocks.
I think that's where the audience were going when this came up.
We asked 100 people to name something that dogs do that you wish you could.
Pee in the streets.
Pee in the streets.
Well, I mean, the good news for her is she can, if she wants to.
Only if she's pregnant in a policeman's hat.
That is a myth, by the way.
Yes, yes. Are you allowed to urinate against the sort of hubcap?
Rear wheel of your own car?
Something like that.
Yes, I believe you are.
Is that really okay?
I believe so.
Okay, all right, fair enough.
You'd like to be able to wee in the street, wouldn't you? I'll give you the money myself. You'd like to wee in the street. You're looking for wee in the street. Hold on! I owe you £6.
It was there.
I can't believe it was there.
No, it's amazing, isn't it?
Can I ask, what was the top answer for that? Because I can't think of many things a dog can do that I can't do or
want to
do. I
have no idea what the top answer was.
Never mind.
No idea. I'd imagine it was probably lick your balls. I don't know. Right, we've got a couple more here. Let's go for another one.
Other than Family Fortunes, name a TV programme with family in the title.
Okay.
God, that's harder than it sounds. Family Affair, was that a programme?
Family Affairs was a soap on Channel 5, wasn't it? There's... Yeah. What's that sitcom with Hugh Dennis in? Something like My Family.
My Family, yeah. Family Guy.
Family Guy. So there's quite probably, a few you could have gone with, isn't there?
Yeah, Family Guy probably wasn't made when that question was asked. But
well, let's see what they gave as the answer.
Other than Family Fortunes, name a TV programme with family in the title.
Generation Game.
The Generation Game.
Stupid bitch.
What I love is even the audience are so astounded, they don't laugh straight away. Just have a listen to that again, right?
Generation Game.
It's just a moment of total just disbelief. this happened.
It's just occurred to me, by the way, that Hugh Dennis wasn't in My Family. That was the...
that's the Robert Lindsay one,
Yes.
Family.
What the hell was the Outnumbered? It's about a family, but it's got nothing to do with family.
Robert Lindsay, you're absolutely right. Right, here's another one.
We asked 100 people to name something people play with when they're nervous.
Something you play with when you're nervous.
The cliche would be you play with your hair.
Your hair, your tie, your fingers, your thumb. See what they gave as an answer.
We asked 100 people to name something people play with when they're nervous. Mabina.
Violin.
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 Yeah. Why not? I'll just break out my anxiety violin and have a little go.
Yeah. I tell you what, whenever I'm anxious, I just do a bit of adagio for strings. One more from Family Fortunes. Here we go.
What do you think? Something that you put on jacket potatoes.
Something you put on jacket potatoes.
I'm having a jacket potato for my dinner tonight.
Hey, what are you going to have on it?
I'm going to have tuna.
Tuna. It's a normal thing, though, isn't it? Tuna, cheese, beans. They're all the normal things you put. A bit of chilli con carne, maybe.
Lovely. They're the classics.
Yeah. Let's see what one man gave as his answer to what goes on a potato.
Jam, we'll say.
Jam?
Jam. Go with a bit of jam.
Man needs to be sectioned putting jam on a jacket potato.
See, these are the people that are out there, Ben. And
scary,
people wonder
isn't it?
Why I don't leave the house very often. I want to finish up with my favourite of all time from Pointless.
Okay.
You know what it's like. There's some clues come up on the screen and there's some initials and they have to try and come up with the answer.
Yeah.
So the answer, the clue was something like the first female commissioner of the Metropolitan Police, London.
Cressida Dick.
CD. Let's have a look what they said.
I think I'll go for Caressa Dick.
Caressa Dick.
Caressa Dick.
Yes.
That's a very different thing.
Let's see if that's right. Let's see how many of our 100 people said it. Is it right, though?
No, it's not there.
Now, that is very funny.
Yes.
And I do like that he said Caressa Dick. That's quite funny. But I've always thought Pointless is really harsh with things like that because we all knew he knew what he meant.
Yeah, but he
knows the correct answer.
Well, he didn't know, did he? Otherwise,
no,
you'd say,
come on. I'd say he knows.
Dick.
Yes, I know it's Caressa the Dick, and Caressa Dick, as funny as it is, he knew what he was talking about, didn't he?
Yeah, you can't give it, though, if you don't say it.
I think that's really harsh. I've always been pissed off with Pointless when the guy, whoever's playing, clearly demonstrates they know what the answer is, but they have a slight misspeak or get the words in ever so slightly the wrong way around, and Pointless, the big red X comes pounding onto the screen. No points for you, despite knowing the answer.
I think
really
it's
cruel.
I don't think it's quite right with that one. I think you can't just say Caressa Dick.
This is unusual for me and you, because normally I'm the pedant for the rules.
Yeah.
And I just find this one too unflinching.
Wow, I'm surprised that you're basically saying you would want points for Caressa Dick.
Yes, I think I would. Trev, do you remember last week I was telling you about my scam to get past the dump Nazis?
Oh, yes, yes, your little, what was it, the decoy bag?
Oh, yes, the decoy bag.
Yes,
which
yeah.
worked a treat.
Okay.
I've been back to the dump twice now.
And is the decoy bag still working? Is that still a ploy that you've been employing?
No, I haven't needed to do such a big drop-off, so I haven't been needing the decoy bag. But I'm worried that they're onto me.
Why?
Because I'm detecting quite the attitude from them now.
Well, I'm not surprised. If they might have checked CCTV, they might have noticed that you were using this decoy bag and were then just chucking stuff willy-nilly into the general waste. And they've got you clocked, mate. They know your number plate. They know what you look like. And I'm not surprised.
So what happened was the very next time I went back, they have a sign up that says stop. And I did it out of, you know,
well,
good behaviour. It's the right thing to do. The sign says stop, so I stop.
Yeah.
And the guy looks at me a bit sort of, well, why have you stopped?
Yeah, because it says stop.
So I just said to him, oh, hi there, just got some stuff. And he said, oh, do you know where you're going? And I said, yeah, I know where I'm going. Household waste.
Oh, you see? Did he ask what you had?
No, he didn't. He just said, okay, if you know where you're going, carry on.
Right.
And he said, have your ID ready next time. And I said, I was a bit taken aback.
Yeah.
I sort of pointed at my pocket and said, I do have my ID. And he said, no, that's fine. Just be faster with it next time.
Oh,
and I thought, wait a minute. How is my ID that important that I'm offering it to you?
Yeah.
You're saying I should be faster with it,
yeah.
But you don't want to fucking see it.
Well, you see, this is what happens at a dump. You see, this is the man who works at the dump is there to piss you off. So
why? How sad is their life? They have the smallest amount of power, which amounts to being able to dictate where people throw their castaway shit.
Yeah, yeah.
And they abuse it. The next time I came a few days later, different guy on the gate. The sign says stop. Yeah. I stop. First words out of my mouth, here's my ID. He said, oh, that's all right, just go around.
Yeah, yeah, well, this is...
You mean?
No, this is because you had it ready. If you hadn't had it ready, he would have said, where's your ID? But the fact you had it ready is like, I don't need it now. Oh. This is the thing. This is how they get their kicks, because their life is so dull. Their life is just full of watching people throw shit away, as you say, that they've got to make their own little bits of amusement. And therefore, by basically contradicting anything you do, it's a little game. They probably have points. It's a little game they play.
So all I'm doing now is trying to concoct other ways I can get one over on the dump masters.
I think you should have a T-shirt printed with your, like, an ID badge and wear that as you go in.
Yeah.
or maybe...
And on the back of the shirt, it can say, I know where household waste is.
Yeah, or maybe get your own bin bags made with your ID on it. Although the problem with that is when they find the shit you've thrown in household waste, they'll be around your house like a shot.
I was a bit worried after last week's podcast, you know, because I thought... I've clearly been a little bit liberal with my interpretation of the rules here.
Very liberal.
And I can't really swear that I know every single thing that's in the contents of those bags. There could easily be something that links it straight back to my house.
Well, I hope so. I hope they come round your house.
Off.
I hope they come round your house with a massive fine. And that's just about it for another week. A couple of things I've been watching this week. I've been really into my documentaries this week.
Okay.
Watched a great one on Mikhail Gorbachev.
So, I could never predict what you're about to say.
It was a one-on-one conversation. Werner Herzog, who's like a mad director, journalist and documentary maker, sitting one-to-one with Mikhail Gorbachev. And it was just... I didn't see it from the beginning, unfortunately. I missed the start. But it was fascinating. It was amazing. I liked him. He was a nice guy.
Who was Gorbachev? Was he some sort of Russian dictator?
He wasn't a dictator. He was head of the Soviet Union when the Cold War ended and the Berlin Wall came down. And he was very responsible for reducing the number of nuclear weapons. He didn't want the Soviet Union to be this big sort of evil thing. And he did a lot to... you know, get good relations with America and the West, and it just seems like a decent man. I mean, obviously, things I'm sure I wouldn't agree with him on, but overall, he was good, and he ended up being shafted in the
end. Was he the predecessor to Putin?
Not quite. Boris Yeltsin took over from him, but
right.
Yeltsin was kind of Putin's puppet, really. So,
okay.
So yeah, but fascinating nonetheless. I also watched another great thing about the Zola Bud Mary Decker thing in the Olympics in 1984, where Mary Decker was tripped in inverted commas. That was fascinating.
I can never predict the crazy things you're watching.
I don't think you're going to guess the next documentary I watched.
I honestly don't know. Let me guess. Trevor McDonald's History of Railways.
No, although that would be fascinating nonetheless. I watched a documentary called, it's on Netflix, this, called My Octopus Teacher.
I wouldn't have got that.
That is an amazing documentary, right? So it's about this guy who sort of had a bit of a midlife crisis meltdown, and he's in South Africa, and he... to just sort of chill out, he just went diving. He'd always gone diving, so he just used to go diving every day. And he struck up this relationship with an octopus, and he would go and see it every day. And this octopus would sort of start coming to him, and that he fell in love with it. It was like a love affair.
But are you sure? It sounds more like a midlife crisis mental breakdown.
Well, when you sort of watch this man, you do think there's something bigger going on here. But it was fascinating. You learned a lot about the life of an octopus. But this relationship that this octopus and this man had over the course of about a year, it was just fascinating. It's about an hour and a half. It's not too long. I really recommend it. It's on Netflix. Well worth a watch.
Did you say a year? I didn't think octopuses lived very long at all.
The female, it was a female octopus. They can live, I think normal octopi will live about 1 to 3 years.
But throwing in the word octopi and making yourself look smart.
But that might even be wrong. It might be octopuses. I'm not entirely sure. I've never known exactly what the plural is. But the female octopus, basically, once it's mated, it's then doomed to die because it will just put all its energy into making sure these hatch out. Then it will die.
Oh.
So it's not got a happy ending, I'll tell you that much.
Cheers.
But it's a fascinating watch, I'll tell you. I started watching it thinking, I don't know what this is, it might be interesting. I was captivated. For all the reasons that you say. One, I mean, it was the just learning about the life of this octopus, the amazing bond and trust it seemed to have with this guy. But then also this man, like, there's something deeper going on with this man that was quite interesting, that wasn't explored in the documentary. But yeah, that was fascinating. Anyway, there we go. That's what I've been watching this week.
Okay, I would like to recommend something I saw on YouTube last night. I don't really know how we got onto it, but me and Mrs. Ben went down a bit of a YouTube rabbit hole last night, and we ended up watching Life of Norman Wisdom, aged 92 and three quarters.
Oh, was it a BBC thing?
It may have been. It's
was it when he was in the old people's home in the Isle of Man?
Yes, it's about 40 minutes long, so it won't take up too much of your time. You can find the whole thing in its entirety on YouTube, and it's basically the conundrum of dealing with Norman Wisdom as he got into old age.
Yes.
And may need to be put into a nursing home, and people who looked after him, and the children's involvement with him. And I'll let people come to their own conclusions, but in my opinion, the children were kind of dickheads.
It was a fascinating... I remember watching this when it was first on, and it was kind of... They sort of pushed him into a home, I seem to remember, and
wanted very little to do with him.
Yeah.
And when they were filmed with him, seemed very cold. Intolerant and cold.
I remember watching that. It was fascinating. I always remember thinking, he can never be off, can he, Norman Wisdom? Like, he's always performing.
No, and that was actually quite a sweet moment. There is a scene of him when he's in the old people's home.
In the chair.
Yeah, singing Don't Laugh at Me Because I'm a Fool, and he's captivated. And it's like, it's so sad that he's ended up in an old people's home.
Yeah.
But it's almost the best thing for him, because now he's got a permanent audience.
Yeah, bless him. I don't know how old he was when he finally died, but he wasn't far.
He was 95.
95, was he? Yeah, great guy, Norman Wisdom. I used to love it. I used to watch his film as a kid. Big fan of Norman Wisdom. All right, well, I might watch that again.
It's very good.
Inspired me to watch that again.
Slightly sad at times, but very good.
Well, there we go. That's it. Lots to watch this week then. So as we get ready for a new lockdown, plenty of things to keep you busy. So if you want to get in touch with us, recommend anything to us, anything you want us to talk about, we're at Trev and Ben on Twitter. And we'll catch you again next week. Till then, stay safe, stay well, take it easy.
Bye.